One, two, three, four. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry. Stories you never knew. Facts that are coming through. We'll bring them all to you. Sisters, that's what we do. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry.
Welcome to Red Velvet Revelry. My name is Marie-Louise. I'm a storyteller. I'm also a woman in the second half of life, exploring what it means to be a whole, happy, sexual individual. It's not always that easy to hear women telling their happy, life-affirming stories about sexuality. So I'm hoping that by sharing my stories and inviting other women to do the same, we can explore and embrace this vital area of life together. I'm starting from where I am, as someone who's white, straight, not disabled, and has always identified as a woman, living in Scotland in the middle years of my life. I invite others whose journey is similar or different to mine to share their stories too, so we can all benefit from them. I'll also share some resources that I found interesting or helpful, in case they might also be helpful for you. Join me now for some Red Velvet Revelry, and let's tell some new stories about sex. In our own words. Welcome to Red Velvet Revelry, the podcast. My name's Marie-Louise, and this is our second podcast. Now, I don't know where you are in the world or when you're listening to this, but here in Scotland, we've just had a few months of being locked down in our houses. Some of us have been locked down with the ones we love the most, and sometimes the ones who annoy us the most. Some of us have been on our own. And each of those scenarios has its own challenges. And what about your sex life during lockdown or near lockdown? Definitely needs a bit of attention, I would say. So today we have a story from someone who has sent me a story about their lockdown experience. A story that is full of cheer for me. And the first story that's been sent to us from someone else. So thank you to Mrs. Victoria Plum, not her real name. We'll have a story from her today. And we have a little ditty from Heidi Doherty, my partner in crime for Red Velvet Revelry, the live show. So without more ado, Love in Lockdown by Mrs. Victoria Plum. Lockdown with my family has been mostly good. And I've enjoyed having my two older kids at home and getting more family time together. With both of us working from home and no travel time, my husband and I have spent more time in each other's company than we have for a long time, possibly ever. Sometimes it's been a bit hard to manage. There's limited space and we have to work around that, as well as the fact that we do annoy each other sometimes. But actually, the reality is we do really like as well as love each other. And this time has brought us a bit closer. We've been married for over 25 years now, and from what I can tell, we have a pretty good sex life compared to what I hear from some of my friends of the same age. However, for my husband and I's desire to spend quality time together, lockdown has caused a few problems. It's hard to be intimate with two teenagers in the house. They are staying up late at night and often going to bed at the same time as us. On top of that, knowing that they're in the next room makes it difficult to feel in the mood for any loving. After a while, we realised that if we wanted to have a sex life, we were going to need to be a bit more strategic about it. So we gave it some thought and had a quiet discussion about what could be done. We decided that the morning was the best time to have sex, as the girls were sleeping in so late. Our bed doesn't really make a noise, but it still felt uncomfortable knowing they might hear us. So we had figured out the time, but not the place. Luckily, we have a downstairs toilet and shower room in our house, so we decided to give it a go in there. We got up sharpish one morning and went downstairs. Now, although this turned out to be the solution, it wasn't entirely straightforward. You see, the shower room is not very big, and my husband, to let you understand, is 6'3". This caused a few problems. With him being quite a bit taller than me, it's not easy to stand up and have sex. Also, I'm not so light that he could lift me up and wrap me around his waist. What came next was us trying out different sexual positions. With that came lots of stretching, grunting, and quite a lot of giggling, all while trying to be quiet and not wake the kids. After a lot of dedicated experimentation, we found the best position was on our hands and knees, half in the shower area and half out. As you can imagine, it was a bit uncomfy on the knees. After some practice, however, we managed to get better at it and have got into the habit of using a towel folded on the floor to protect our knees. So that's what we do now. I have to say, I'm looking forward to the time when the kids are going out with their friends again and we can get back to bouncing in our comfy bed. It's definitely been a challenge, this lockdown. We've had to make more of an effort to keep the sex going, but it's been worth it. We've had some real fun.
So, with us just coming out of lockdown, I thought I would write a little poem about being isolated a wee bit, maybe being apart from your loved ones. Now, this was written kind of near the start of lockdown, so maybe it kind of had a different sort of like feel to it. It's called the Self-Love Ditty. If your windows are a-sparkling with the help of Windoline, you've done a Marie Kondo and your cupboards are a dream. You've baked and cooked and scrubbed the cat. There's little else to do. You're following self-isolation, but feeling a bit blue. Put the washer up to full spin and give yourself a treat. A little bit of self-love will keep you feeling sweet. Try some DIY, my dear, when you can't get to your partner. Or when you need to stay at least 2 metres from each other. So take your time, enjoy yourself. Chuck the cat out of the bedroom. A fantasy or two will help. Be it Nick Knowles or Claire Balding. And give yourself some me time. You might need to enlist a rabbit. One that vibrates. Not a chocolate Easter treat. That would be messy and leave you incomplete. For the benefits are many in these times of stress. Can ease your tension knots away, just put it to the test. For we're often on our own just now, no one's coming a-knocking. The doorbell's silent, the dog's not barking, we're all just social distancing. So now's the time to bide your time. Explore your genitalia. But reach your peak. Enjoy your treat. Just remember your sanitizer.
Thank you very much, Heidi. And thank you very much, Mrs. Victoria Plum. Thanks for sharing your story. If you have a story that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear it. Please get in touch via our website, redvelvetrevelry.com, and send us an email. We've also got a Facebook page, which you could visit that if you like and see what we're up to there. Now, last time, I promised you a review of The Joy of Sex. This is a book that you may or may not have heard of. It came out in 1972 and was written by a GP who wanted to communicate about sex for his patients. He'd had a lot of questions about people who just wanted to ask questions about sex that they didn't really have anywhere else to get the answers. So he wrote a book which attempted to do that in a straightforward way, honestly, warmly, and openly as possible. All about sex, sexual facts, sexual positions, sexual interests. And he created a book which was really well loved and a lot of people bought. Some of our parents may even have had it. Now, the book was well known for its drawings. There were some Japanese, I think, and Indian drawings of people in different sexual positions. There were also some line drawings of a gentleman with a beard and his female partner. They got quite a lot of stick for the pictures when it got dated. But the pictures have been updated in a new version, which came out in 2008. And this version has been written with sex therapist Susan Quilliam. Now, Susan Quilliam is a very well-known therapist, and she's written a lot about sex. About 10 years ago, she did a survey with women asking them all kinds of questions about their sex lives. And although it's quite old now, it's still a really valuable source of information to hear women talking about what they think about sex. The book's called Women and Sex, and I imagine I may return to this book in another podcast. When they updated the book, they took out the old pictures and they put in some contemporary photos, which are actually quite lovely. I do imagine, though, in the fullness of time, they too will become a bit dated. But the point is the information that's in this book. I would say it's really a kind of reference book rather than a book that you might sit down and read cover to cover. Of course, I have sat down and read it cover to cover. The way that the book is set out is like a cookbook. It talks about different things, little things, big things, and it sets them out as appetizers, main courses, and puddings. At the beginning of the book, both Susan and Alec talk about their own individual experiences of sex from the perspective of their own genders and their own individual experiences. And I really loved that. Of course, they couldn't encapsulate everybody else's experience, but I think the warm and honest way that they start the book sets a really good tone and suggests that sex is something that everybody should be able to enjoy. The idea, I think, of the cookbook idea is that it helps the readers to think of themselves as people who might like to be sensual lovers, gourmets of sex rather than consumers of fast food, and I rather like that. One of the things I learned was there was a lot of fun facts, so I thought I would share a few of the fun facts that I learned that I didn't know before. For example, in a dose of semen during ejaculation, there are 5 calories and a dose of vitamin C. Who knew? Another thing is that when Masters and Johnson were doing their famous research into human sexuality, one of the things that they studied were women self-pleasuring. And they discovered that in those studies that none of the women who were involved self-pleasured in the same way. They all did it completely differently. Maybe not completely differently, but they didn't all do it the same, which I thought was really interesting. They also refer to a survey that was taken by British women and French women, asking them about how important sex was in their lives. And it interested me to see that French women thought that sex was a lot more important than British women seemed to do. And I wonder if that's because French women are better at talking about sex than British women, or if in fact they really do find it more important in their lives. As I was saying, it is a bit of a reference book, but it is easy to read. And I think it tries to include as broad an experience as it possibly can. It's probably predominantly written for straight people, but I don't know, it might be useful for everybody, I think. If you have a partner, I think it could be really good fun to go through this book and pick out bits that you're interested to kind of discuss and maybe even explore. And if, like me, you're spending a lot of time on your own at the moment, this is a great book for keeping sex on the agenda. Learn something and maybe get to read it and get all your own way without anybody else interfering. Well, that brings us to the end of our second Red Velvet Revelry podcast. Thank you for joining me. Next time, I'll be back with a story all about sexual awakenings and a review of a book called Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardina Evaristo. So, from us at Red Velvet Revelry, I'll say cheerio just now, and do Join us next time on Red Velvet Revelry.
1, 2, 3, 4. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry. Stories you never knew. Facts that are coming through. We'll bring them all to you. Sisters, that's what we do. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry.